In a partnership, vision is such a delicate subject because you have to balance the practicality of moving towards a single vision together with ensuring that your partners have sufficient input into that vision. If there is a kumbaya, my friend, let's all co-create the vision, and I give in a little bit to you and you give in a little bit to me, and we now have this co-developed vision, it doesn't have integrity in the sense that it doesn't stack, because a piece is from you and a piece is from me and a piece is from maybe there's a third party and or partner. And so you have a patchwork vision that is essentially a compromise vision. And although that sounds wonderful that we've compromised and we've all held hands, very often in a patchwork vision, it's not practical. You've got pieces of that vision pulling to the left and pieces of vision pulling to the right. And so you have quite a fluffy vision. And when you've got a fluffy vision and not a sharp, understood vision, then you have a much harder time communicating that not only to your Opal team, your exco, but also to the rest of the business.
And that's the voice of Alon Ray, CEO of Ray Corp. He's sitting across from me here. We're talking partnerships. And in this very specific podcast, we are speaking my vision versus our vision. So Alon, why is then this a problem?
There are a couple of issues with constructing a vision in a partnership. The first is when you have a dominant partner, whether they are dominant in terms of shareholding or by title or just by personality, the outcome of a unconscious, unaware dominant partner is that the vision is completely theirs. There's no compromise in it. There is no discussion. There is no integrating any other people or any other partners' views into that vision. And so there's very often lack of buy-in by the other partner because there's this submission and whatever he says. And very often there isn't this commitment to that vision by the partner. On the other side of the scale, you've got what we described in the introduction, this patchwork vision, where we've all compromised, and the result is a very fluffy vision with a lack of focus. And as a result of that, it's far more difficult for the team to understand the vision and operationalize the vision. The issue on this side is really around logic. A vision that has been put together with compromises that are not congruent with one another, that don't speak to one another, that don't align to one another, becomes effectively a whole bunch of separate visions cobbled together in a patchwork that is then titled the vision. And so on the surface, it might sound wonderful, but when you interrogate the pieces of that vision and how they align to one another and fit into one another, then that just doesn't make sense. Vision affects everything because vision effectively is the end point that you're trying to achieve. And as a result of the vision, the strategy is developed to achieve that vision. And if the strategy is not formulated, then the organization doesn't perform.
Okay, so we're trying to avoid a patchwork vision here, but then how do you actually go about doing this? You don't want to be too dominant. You don't want to be patchwork. How do you find that golden nugget in the middle? Is it in the middle?
It's not in the middle. That's really the point. It's not in the middle. The way to go about developing this our vision that has a higher probability of working and being effective is to ensure that the dominant partner articulates that vision in detail. that is then discussed, polished, pieces removed, pieces added to that. So it's not, if I try and give you a visual picture, it's not like, okay, this is equitable. You add one piece, then I add one piece. Then you add one piece, then I add one piece. And so we build this vision in that way. It's more like the block tower is already created by the dominant party, by the dominant partner. And then that is then discussed piece by piece with an open ear by all parties. So it's not that there is this tone of, oh, I'm just going to compromise to make you feel good. It's now your role to help me polish that vision, to check for practicality, check for things that I might have missed, check for weaknesses, check for alignment to values, etc. And so the other party is not just bringing their voice, but is also acting as a checking mechanism in the building of that vision.
Now, this is what I really appreciate, is to understand that there are different roles that you play. So before you come into that meeting or that discussion, there is an explicit understanding, which really speaks to explicit communication, around the fact that I've created this vision. Now I want you to stress test it and I want you to challenge it.
Correct. And I need to be open to that feedback. That's the compromise. It's I need to be open to that feedback, and I need to be open to any ideas that I might have missed or any mistakes I might have made in the construction of that vision.
When you go into a discussion like that or a meeting like this, whether it's with a partner or with an Opal team, which is an ExCo team, are there things that you have prepared beforehand? Are there boundaries that you have communicated or put up beforehand? Do you want them to see it with fresh eyes, or do you want them to come in prepared?
The three main tools that we've spoken about before to create vision are the budget, the financial budget, the letter from the future, which is the five-year written document around what the vision is, and then the long-term vision, which is generally a graphical representation of the future.
I'm going to quickly interrupt Alon here because you may be wondering what those items are, but there's a menu of podcasts that have been created and that continue to develop on racecorp.com. So if you want to go and find out what Alon is referring to, go look there. There's going to be some really interesting stuff. But back to this conversation.
So the main one of those three for the CEO, the dominant partner to use, is the letter from the future. So the first time that letter from the future is written, whether it's 5 pages or it's 20 pages, or in my instance where it's over 40 pages, the first time that it's expressed, I would read it to my partner. And that is the document that is interrogated and tested and contributed to, etc. Thereafter, in the flow code process, that letter from the future is then adapted each year and modified according to new information, new technology, new internal pressures, new external pressures, etc. And it keeps modifying slightly. And once again, once a year, at the annual Diamond Breakaway, which we've spoken about as well in other podcasts, there is the time set aside to go through that letter from the future and now repolish it together. It's very deliberate. It's actually a process that one follows. It's not, well, what do you think? Yeah, it's cool. Let's move on. There's time set aside to work through it. And the responsibility of the other partners is to actually read it, mark it up with questions, comments, etc., that they want to bring into that conversation. And then once that conversation is complete, then that is then, in inverted commas, published.
So Alon, we've discussed this before in a previous podcast in the series, Domains of Decisions, but what happens when there is no dominant party, when someone doesn't step up, when it's a 50-50 split, what happens then?
Well, that's the problem. If it's a 50-50 shareholding and there's you and I and we're both 50-50, for this to work, there has to be a decision that one of us is the boss, the final arbiter, the final decision maker. And so whoever that might be, which generally comes with the title of CEO, because that discussion would have happened before. Okay, we're 50-50, but you are the CFO, the COO, and I'm the CEO, or whatever the case may be. The CEO then takes the role of the LFF, and the other 50% partner then it takes the role of now interrogating the LFF, the letter from the future, the vision, to ensure that his or her input is present in the final published letter from the future.
What I'm hearing from you again is that it's about being deliberate and about being explicit. And so a role is an assigned thing. It has boundaries. It has limitations. It's something that is designed. And it sounds like that's what you're advocating for here, even within a partnership, is make sure that there's some kind of designed role and then allow those roles to play out. In this instance, they do the letter from the future. You know, they create the structure, the scaffolding, and then the other role is to interrogate and pull it apart. But I'm going to push again. When doesn't this process work?
Yeah, thanks for pushing. And the answer to that is when egos are in the room. When the ego of one or both of the partners is bigger than their desire to become successful. And unfortunately, that happens very often in pretty young partnerships where there's a jostling for limelight, there's a jostling for importance, and not a understanding that your role is this, my role is that, and together, if we take on those roles, we will both become far more successful. So in the instance where the egos are large and the egos are in the room, and egos need to be attached to who said what, then it doesn't work. And so often this process doesn't work. So there's a requirement for a level of maturity and self-awareness coming into just a normal partnership, never mind a partnership that is trying to create a vision.
But what's so interesting to me is what you've just said there is if the process isn't followed, it's not going to work. But I would venture to say that there are many people who are listening to this, many partners who are listening to this, probably looking at each other across the table right now, wide-eyed, and saying, we didn't even consider that a process should be followed in the first place. And so that's the value of this particular conversation. And that's all we have time for. Thank you, Alon, for your insights again. In the next conversation, we'll be speaking same salaries. It's going to be another goodie, so we'll see you then. I'm Gareth Armstrong, and this has been a Razor's Edge podcast.